In the years that I've covered the court, when I first started in the late, there were about 150 to 160 cases heard a year out of some 4,000 to 5,000 that came to the court. There are about half that many today. And there are a lot of theories about why that is. I think the most likely one is that at least for the last couple of decades, there's been remarkably little big federal legislation. And it is tests of various provisions of that legislation, not necessarily constitutional tests like the health care mandate, but tests, what did Congress mean when it did this, that feed in the huge number of important cases that have to be resolved by the United States Supreme Court and that are likely to have different results in the lower courts. I don't think they're dodging any cases. I think they're taking the cases they think they have to and that need to be resolved by the nation's highest court.
Justice Sotomayor said shortly after coming on to the court that she continues to be amazed at the public's confidence in the Supreme Court's decision and the process they use to make those decisions. Do you think the public has confidence in what the Supreme Court does?
Yes and no. It has much higher approval ratings than any of the other institutions of government, the Congress, the presidency, or I might add, the professions, including the media. So in that sense, it's much higher. But the court's currency can erode at any moment if the public becomes convinced or thinks that it's deciding cases on some sort of a political basis.
You've made some controversial statements in the media in your years at NPR, and you also appear regularly as a panelist offering opinions on political commentary television show Inside Washington. After his firing last October, Juan Williams criticized NPR as having a double standard for not disciplining you for opinions you may have expressed. Double standard at NPR?
Well, to begin with, I can only repeat to you what NPR said. I'm not in the management business here. I'm just a working stiff. And I don't express my personal opinions on NPR, nor do I, for the most part, I try very hard not to express personal opinions about the things that I'm covering, even when I'm appearing on television. I try to say, here's what the arguments are, and leave it somewhat at that. You know, nobody's perfect. I'm sure I've transgressed over the years, but I feel much freer to express opinions about things, ironically, that I know far less about. You know, ask me what I think about Iraq or the Baltics or Kosovo. I feel absolutely free to have an opinion about that because I don't cover those things. NPR has always said that the Williams firing was not for something that he said, but that there had been a long series of events that led up to this. I have no way of knowing that. I have had occasions once or twice where a boss has called me in and said, you know, when you appeared on TV this week, you were a little close to the line. Please be careful. And I've tried to be careful.
Does that chill what you say?
Yes, it does. But, you know, I don't have a right to work at NPR. You know, and what I basically do is I'm a reporter. That's the job I love. I like doing the television show. It's fun. It gives me increased access and a little extra money. But NPR has the right to have me observe their professional standards when I'm on television. And if my boss thinks that I was a little bit close to the line about something I might be covering, then I should watch it.
Do you ever get spoken to before you go on a show?
No, never. Okay. Never.
You said in a piece on NPR earlier this month not to read too much into federal courts' decisions that have been rendered so far as the Supreme Court moves closer to a review of the president's health care reform law. And you argued basically that history tells us that those decisions, and we have two in favor and two opposed in the country right now, may not be good predictors.
History does tell us that. Even the most recent history, if you look back to the Bush administration and the war on terrorism and all the legal questions that were posed in that case. Early on, there were lots of federal district court judges who struck down various things that the administration was doing or enjoined them or said they were unconstitutional. And each time, all the reporters I know, me included, would go into a real tizzy and we would write about it. None of those survived in the long run. The Bush administration prevailed in all of those cases. Interestingly, the only cases they didn't prevail on were the ones they won in the U.S. Court of Appeals here in the District of Columbia over Guantanamo. There were three big cases, and each of those went to the Supreme Court, and in each of those cases, the Supreme Court ruled against the administration's position.
So stand by.
I'm not saying that the court will uphold the mandate or strike down the mandate. I'm just saying that what lower courts do may not be predictive of what the Supreme Court's going to do.
Well, not many people know this, but your sister Amy is a lawyer in private practice in Atlanta and has been nominated to the federal bench by President Obama. What's the status of her nomination?
She has been cleared twice unanimously by the Senate Judiciary Committee. She got a unanimous vote in November, but because it was a few days after the election, they never voted on her on the floor. She was again reported out unanimously a couple of weeks ago. But this is one of the reasons that, at least while she's up for confirmation, I don't cover lower court judgeships. I used to do that all the time. It's just something I can't do while her nomination is pending. Other people do it. In fact, probably more often than I ever did.
Award-winning journalist and legal affairs correspondent for National Public Radio, Nina Totenberg. Thanks for joining us this morning.
It's been my pleasure.